Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharsky with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. PaulKuharsky.com is the website. You can check it out for all your Titans coverage. Taking your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025, our phone number. PK, Tyler Boyd, now a member of the Tennessee Titans, which means your top three receivers are Hopkins, Ridley, and Boyd. What did you make of that move for the Titans, and now what do you make of kind of that trio that they've established in front of Treylon Burks here with their top three?
Well, it's a very nice move, and it rounds them out nicely. But people are going a little crazy with, like, a receiving savior thing. He's got limitations. He's big. He's got good hands. He's very good against zone. He's not particularly fast, which is the one thing you always want this team to add. Ridley is fast. Hopkins is, an elite receiver who does wonderful things despite a lack of speed. And Boyd also has a lack of speed. So it's still a wide receiver unit that really only has one fast guy. It allows everybody to be in proper slots. Burks is now 4. Westbrook Akine is now 5, much to Joe's chagrin.
You sure about that? It's Burks, then NWI?
Well, ideally, it's Burks and then NWI. It puts Phillips on the edge of not making the roster. It puts Jaquan Jackson, ideally, if he's good enough, fast enough, as a change-up slot guy to the small, fast alternative to Boyd.
Slash returner.
And it kicks guys off of the team who shouldn't be anywhere close to the team, like Mason Kinsey.
Oh, you got to take a shot at Mason Kinsey.
And so it's a really good development. Obviously, he knows Callahan's workflow and playbook and all of that stuff. His asking price came way down. 4.5, we don't know how that's structured, how much of it's guaranteed, how much of it's tied to per game, and all of that. And the thing here is, Burks now has no pressure on him to he has a lot of pressure on him, but he can be a 4, develop, push for reps that would, be counter to somebody, rest for somebody, sub for somebody who twists an ankle and all of that, but not a must thing. Stop it on Twitter with this immediate, like, have to trade Burks now. We've got a 4th receiver. We got to get rid of him. He might be good, and we might have a 4th good receiver who isn't on the field in the lineup at the opening snap. Got to get rid of him. You're allowed to have a 4th guy. You're allowed to have a 5th guy. I know this is incredibly unusual that the Titans have conceivably have depth at a position where usually they suck. But this is allowed, and it's good. Wish for him to play well, to be healthy, and to give them a problem where a guy who's good, there might not be enough snaps for him. And that's fine.
Yeah, but don't you want a second-round pick, though?
Jeez. Yeah. He's not worth what you think. This is a disease in Nashville. You're talking about UC Soros and saying that he's probably overvalued by Preds fans in terms of what he's worth. And he's worth far more than Treylon Burks.
You think this
worth.
Is confined to Nashville? It's like a cicada thing?
I think it is hyper cicada in Nashville compared to other cities, especially on the trash level. You look at a Titans guy who underachieves and is bad, and you think he's worth a 3rd. He's not worth a 3rd. He's worth a 6th, 7th swap or a conditional 6th. He's done nothing, and he's hurt, and everybody just filled their roster with what they need. And the guys you're going to get are Boyd and Zay Jones, not Treylon Burks.
Historical context on this room. If Boyd is, good version of Boyd, really good version of Ridley, another year of Hopkins like last year, how's this receiver room in the top 3 compared to anything you've covered with the Titans?
It's pretty damn good. I'll have to go back and look. I think Mason, Bennett, McCarron's. But McCarron's never really lived up to his potential. That wasn't the fastest room ever, though. I'd be curious to hear what Derek says later this afternoon. Off the top of my head, that would be probably the best three they had. But also, historically, you're not talking about three wide. I mean, when the Titans probably had their best room, they were putting two on the field at a time. So the third
this team's
really
going to put three on the field
all
a lot.
The time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 70% of the time, probably. So, you know, there's cause to be excited here, and I think they played it really well. They had him in. You know, he was in Los Angeles. He was exploring. I think he was asking for eight. And then they had Zay Jones in to turn up the pressure a little bit. I don't think Zay Jones is at all comparable. I wrote that. And, you know, things then happened pretty quickly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. I got a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Franklin. And your chance to be qualified for an upgrade to a $250 gift card to give away now. Caller 5-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Franklin and will be qualified for an upgrade to $250 gift card. A station rep will contact the winner as soon as they come in. PK, we were talking about this earlier. With Boyd now in the mix, the skill positions – I guess that they've really been intentional about adding to this offseason. When you talk about Pollard and Ridley and now Boyd in the fold, how fair is it in your mind to say that we're going to find out maybe not the entire answer, but a pretty good chunk of the answer this season to what Will Levis is and what type of player he's going to be in the NFL based on what the Titans have put around him this offseason?
Well, I think the way the league works now, guys get about 2 years, some less than that, and you want to give them the best chance. We've talked about this. It's weird how many Nationals are, you know, kind of insulting the Titans for providing him with these weapons. It's a weird vibe. Like, why are you doing this? I think they're doing this smartly. Provided the offensive line is substantially better, and I think we should be giving the benefit of the doubt there based on two big additions and the position coach dramatic increase in talent, that he's going to have every chance here to show who he is, and that by the end of the season you know who he is and you know where you go. And those decisions come quicker and quicker, and they should be equipped to make theirs at the end of the season, unless he's hurt and misses a lot of time. And that ties into what I was saying about the offensive line being better and better coached.
Don't you I still feel like the highest likelihood is that he'll get 25, but it won't be with full certainty that he's the guy long term, right? I mean, isn't that the most like I think it's a very unlikely that he's going to bomb out to the extent that they're giving up on him after this year. It's possible. And it's possible that he's so excellent that it's clear that they're just going to keep going with him. But it might. Don't you think the biggest likelihood is just that he's good to pretty good, and they keep finding
going
out.
Forward. Yeah, especially given the price, you know, that they've got a 2 more years of low cost quarterback from a second round pick. I would think the odds are you continue to go forward with him, and that you feel like another year of replenishing the roster, filling in the cracks that you didn't get to fill in this year, adding to the second line of the depth chart, which is still pretty poor at several spots, and addressing the positions that you didn't get to address this year the way you'd like to, starting with edge, probably, that you would feel like next year you could probably make a push. If he gives you average to above average play.
Well, I agree with all that. Let's say he goes out this year and the Titans find their way into the last wild card spot. He plays well. They find their way into the last wild card spot and he stays healthy, plays well. Do you think that there's still questions on him heading into the next season after that, or is that enough this year for them to be pretty certain about their guy?
I think if they get the last wild card spot, which I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the last wild card spot since they expanded has been like a death spot. I mean,
not been very good.
It's been six good teams and another team in the playoffs. But that would bode really well for them if they got that spot this year. I think he would have had to have played pretty well for them to get that spot.
Probably.
I think you're right in the scenario I'm talking about. Come back, add, you know, they're not going to have a free agent class like they just did, but right. You add, you know, two good guys, couple role players, have a good draft, and you feel like you're positioned to win the division or get a better wild card and make a charge.
Yeah, but I mean it's a hard one to answer because they also could, that corner group could be amazing and the Landry could have a career year and Sweat could come in and be fantastic and then you could get there in different ways and then, you know, how does Levis play in the playoffs? Like those things are still mean so much more than like a one playoff game counts as a whole bunch of regular season games. So It's a tough one to answer. You would think that it would mean he would play pretty well. But also, Paul, I think
the odds, too, of we have to remind ourselves, like the odds of all of these things happening are low.
Yes.
Correct.
Something's going wrong somewhere. Well, somebody's going to tear an ACL or an Achilles, unfortunately, or suffer a long-term
Smith?
Concussion or, you know, or not pan out. And you got to account for that. It's the way it goes. They've added so much across the board there. Something goes haywire.
Well, and I think the biggest thing still to me is still the offensive line. I mean, go back to the content of what Jared was saying there and your report. By the way, Condon is an agent for Peter Skoronski, as Jared points out on my personal text line. And he doesn't throw bouquets at Peter Skoronski.
That's great.
On a daily basis. So I'm just saying. Just
all
just
I wanted
Jared
to say is when he's cheerleading for Pete, he might mention, my good friend is Pete's agent.
Okay.
That's the kind of transparency I would use.
Yeah, someone.
If I had a good friend who was an agent. I think most agents are jerks and difficult to deal with, so I don't have good friends. And I think it's important, by the way, not to have good friends that you cover.
It makes you do that. I smoke weed constantly is also now. I don't have friends. We need to make that a
I think
a
it's
too.
Important not to be good friends with people you cover. That's a problem in this market in a lot of cases.
I think that's a fair
Andrew
thing
Andrew has a lot of good friends. You could put that one.
Wow.
Right?
All right, let's get after Andrew.
If you go to a guy's barbecue annually, it's hard to be honest that the guy sucks.
Well, someone on the text line, by the way, called him Shilly Stilly. So, getting back to the point I was trying to make before you derailed me, it is a fair question, and I'm not where he is, but I want to know where you are. I'm Petit Frere, not Petit Frere, Petit yes. Frere.
Jared's going to turn it into three syllables now.
Because I'm probably more in your – we've talked about this, but I'm more – because last year was such a bleep show, and some of it is his doing for sure – I don't think we've seen no signs of talent from him. And obviously the offensive line coach enters into the discussion, anything with the offensive line. But I will say, if he's not at least pretty good,
they're in big trouble.
Yeah, I mean, they could – right? And then this whole thing with Levis and all these things around him. Well, if you still are a complete open run to your quarterback at either tackle – and by the way, that's hoping that the rookie is good at left tackle – this could not be great.
You know,
correct?
Were you excited about Bill Callahan, Stilly, or not? You know, they're gonna. We knew they weren't gonna transform the entire line. It's too much with all the other needs that they have. If you got a right tackle, then you weren't getting one of the corners. Or if you got a right tackle, then you weren't getting Pollard, you know, or you weren't getting Ridley, or you weren't getting.
Well, also the question is who is that? Because we talked about that from the start.
Well, it's Pete.
Is there
right? Look, both of the spots on the right side, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Jalen Duncan, Leroy Watson, those three are competing for right tackle. If you love Bill Callahan coming in, you have to say he's going to be able to get something out of one of those three guys to make him a serviceable right tackle. And if he's the worst guy on that line, but serviceable, that's fine. Right guard's going to be the same. Brunskill, Sadiq Charles, and Dylan Radins, I feel actually probably a little bit better about that pool. And one of them is going to be your starting right guard. Then center to left tackle, you feel better about. Cushenberry, excellent. Skoronski, I have great hopes for in his second year. And J.C. Latham at left tackle, I feel good. If Bill Callahan thought he was the best left tackle and the best offensive tackle prospect in this draft and feels good about flipping him to left tackle, then left side, center to left tackle, I feel good. So three out of five are good, and the other two have to come out of competitions, which, by the way, it's hard to find a true competition from the Vrabel era, a true camp competition where there wasn't really like, well, so-and-so is definitely going to win it.
Radins Petit-Frere was, I would say, right?
For a while.
How long?
Week and a half, 2 weeks, maybe.
That's when I thought Petit-Frere was good, by the way.
It's pretty cool. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, man. Would it be safe to assume at this point that the tight end is just in a not very important position and what this offense is going to look like? Because, I mean, you always hear that a good quarter or a good tight end is a young quarterback's best friend, but they haven't addressed it. And there was talks of maybe getting Bowers, whatever. Not only did we not get Bowers, we didn't pick up a tight end. I don't think we addressed it in any manner unless I've missed something. So, and I don't think Chig is all that good. I thought John U was twice as good as Chig. So I don't know what I'm missing. Like, is it just you signed Boyd, so I assume that at that point that it's just going to be a – you know, greatest show on turf, and nobody's ever going to know who our tight end is. Is that about right?
Well, you know who Mr. the Clark. Tight end is. You mentioned his name, Chig. They're going to be three wide, so they're going to be fewer tight ends on the field. They're going to get the ball out quicker by design. He's going to know where to go. There are a couple tight ends in the undrafted rookie pool, and, you know, you're not going to see as many on the field as much. So, but I mean, Chig's going to be the front line tight end. He's still going to throw to him. He's still going to be a weapon and an option. Hopefully, he doesn't have to block as much because the ball's out quicker and the blocking is better.
Well, and by the way, on the tight end being the quarterback's best friend front, your head coach is coming from a place where the young quarterback's best friend was Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver. Yeah. You're trying to build that position up and hope that neither Hopkins at this stage of his career or Ridley. Or Ja'Marr Chase, but you're hoping that those two, and now with Boyd thrown in there, that's what you have is options for Levis to deliver the football.
And the caller says there's talk about Bowers. There was media talk about Bowers. We don't know that there was any Titans talk about Bowers. My understanding was they weren't going to consider him inside the top 10, and it looks like they had no intention of getting outside the top 10.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharski. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us. talking all things Tennessee Titans. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. So you mentioned going three wide a little bit more, probably a lot more. When you factor in Pollard and Spears that they now have with the running game as well, your opinion as a whole, beyond just the receivers, Adam from Portland brought up the tight end group in the last segment, your opinion as a whole as to how the Titans are equipped with their skill positions based on the work they've done this offseason?
I mean, pretty good. You know, the one thing that you really want this franchise for a long time to have is speed.
Yep.
You know, and Ridley is speed, so I can't complain that much. You know, you want one burner in the mix, and they've got it. You'd like more, right? But at least they've got one.
Yeah.
You know, and you could see how things kind of layer with deep, intermediate, short. With the receivers, and so that would be Ridley deep and Hopkins intermediate and Boyd short.
Yep.
With the receivers and the tight ends mixed in there, and so they've got a lot of options, and I'm sure this offense is going to be well designed to give Levis options at every level consistently. The problem is if the one guy that you can't have go down, I think, is Ridley in terms of taking away that speed.
I thought you guys were just talking off air. Like, oh, the show's back?
Well, what you
but
do
when you
is
get
you
up
wait
3 minutes,
three
into, the
minutes
break,
into the break, and then you're like, oh, I need some coffee and I need some things printed out. I'm going to go take care of some office.
I got some errands to run, guys.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Yeah, I'm going
worry.
To the post office.
How's the show going?
Yeah, it's good.
Good. Okay, so I had a question for you, PK, about Tavondre Sweat, who I think, the more I think about it, the more I think that Tavondre Sweat is going to be a big part of the story of this season. You know, that's a lot to put on one rookie second-round pick, but I think, like, it's going to say a lot about their defense, about also the process that led to choosing him. There's been a lot of first of all, there's been a lot of speculation about the possibility of moving down. You've talked about that some. Could they have moved down to get him? And, you know, I do enjoy all of the confidentials that come out. Our guy at The Athletic, Mike Sando, had one, and it was the quote to me that really stood out was, he's going to break your heart, talking about Tavondre Sweat. But then Jeremy Fowler had one yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but Fowler had one yesterday for ESPN, which, and this is a thing with the confidentials, right? It's like, you know, there's a couple people quoted on each team, right? So it's pretty easy. Like, you could find a completely
right opposites
opposite take from one reporter to another with a couple people, right?
Yeah.
But the Fowler confidential was, I think, much more favorable to the idea that a team, basically, to paraphrase, said, like, there's no way he was going to fall very far. What at this point, how do you just feel about that? It doesn't matter. They've got him, and I think he's going to be key. But do you agree with that, and have you digested any of these sort of post-mortem evaluations?
Yeah, I mean, I said from the start, the thing about the top two picks is that there's a wait-and-see element to it here. You know, and with him, it's the weight and the lifestyle thing. The other thing, I think, is that, and we touched on this last week, there's a degree of additional pressure on him. Hopefully he won't really feel it, at least not until games start to be played. Or maybe he won't feel it at all. Hopefully he won't feel it at all. But we were talking about, you know, he's going to rush the passer, presumably well, from inside. But that's got to be highly influential for them, because we don't know what's coming from the edge outside of Harold Landry.
Yep.
And Harold Landry is going to draw a great deal of attention, because Arden Key and Harold are the next two. And, you know, they can be – we know Arden Key can be an effective pass rusher. But it's more inconsistent, right? And there's not a third wave for sure. You don't know what Harrell's going to be. But in terms of regular outside pass rush that's consistent, you know, Brian Callahan told Jim Wyatt and I at the owners' meetings, you know, you'd like to have three, you'd like to have four. Well, how many do we consider that they have right now? They have two, maybe, if you're counting Key and Harrell together. You don't know. Harrell's a seventh-round pick.
And that,
you know,
quota is just about edge.
You want to be optimistic? Yes. And so we're counting on the Simmons and Sweat duo to kind of offset that by providing so much inside push. But even if you provide inside push, a lot of quarterbacks escape the inside push to go outside. And who's outside? And what are they doing?
Yep.
And how much are they in good position and all of that? You know, sometimes good things happen for defense when the quarterback's pushed out there, and sometimes good things happen for the offense. Now, the Titans have a secondary that should be sticky, you know, but you can only ask them to cover for so long, and we know how all of this goes. So I think there's more on Sweat. Maybe he's not conscious of it, and it's not really, you know, his obligation, but you want big things to happen because of the pressure that he's putting on them.
I just think if he's max of what they want, I think that makes a big impact on the defense. And if it's the concerns come to light right away, then how do you think they're ever going to go away, right?
I think, too, though.
Well, how they go away is a guy gets more mature over time. But if the concerns show right away, you know, then he gets piled on, right? And then growing and maturing becomes harder because all he's hearing is the criticisms of the initial bad showing. And it gets complicated and difficult right out of the gate.
I think, too, though, there I think, is, and I think there should be, some pressure on Jeffrey Simmons this year to play better than he did last year. I know he got hurt later in the year.
Last 2 years, really.
Yeah, but he's getting paid a ton of money. And we all know that Jeffrey Simmons is a really good player. But I did not feel like, and this is just me, I did not feel like he was impactful enough often enough last year. And he's got to be better than that this year when you're paying him that much money.
I agree with that.
No, I agree, for sure. I mean, and that's where Sweat –
but you're not allowed to say that out loud.
The good
really.
Version of Sweat. Well, you always, every week you say it out loud and then say you're not allowed to say it out loud. I think you're allowed to say it out loud. You say it out loud every week.
You're not allowed to say it out loud near the Titans.
Well, maybe not near him.
Oh, no, near other Titans. You say it near PR. You say it near management. Oh, my God. Really?
Well,
you can't say that about Big Jeff. Big Jeff.
Well, 2 years ago, I give him a pass for 2 years ago because he was rallying to play through some serious stuff. He was a shell of himself. But I agree. Last year, you wanted more from him. You want greatness.
Exactly. That's what you're paying him for.
Yeah, you're paying him for greatness, no doubt. So that's where, if Sweat is max version, good version of Sweat, I think you will see a better version of Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, I think Danico Autry helped him a lot. And it's a different player, different dynamic, but the same kind of idea. And look, I think Tyr Tart, you know, was a significant factor in there too. And but now you're kind of putting a rookie in there with some other guys, but you're putting a rookie in there and putting a lot on him.
But I also say this: if Jeff Simmons is what the Titans think Jeff Simmons is, forget about Autry and Tart and Sweat.
Well,
I mean, I understand you get good people next to you. But he should be beating people regardless of who's next to him.
Sure. But if it's easy to – it's only him, that is – you can scheme that. Any offense can figure that out, right?
Well, I'm not saying a zero next to him, but if you have a functional football player next to him, you know, and this was a turnoff to me about Terrell Williams, who, you know, I used to ask him about Jeff being doubled, and he used to basically say, if a guy's doubled, he can't do anything. Well, good defensive tackles in the league are all doubled.
Yeah.
And lots of them have success, well, and they're getting these monster contracts.
Jeff Simmons has beaten plenty of double teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I think it's – if there's not some kind of help up there, you know, He's not Aaron Donald.
He's not, but there's more on him, too, though. Like, he has to – you're paying him the type of money where he has to help you mitigate – not totally solve, not totally mitigate, but help you mitigate the lack of edge rushing help on the other side from Landry. Like, he's got to be a force that can help you mitigate that for them to have a chance on that side of the ball this year.
I also think Denard – well, I think we're going to see – I think we're going to see inside linebackers coming and different people coming. And with those corners, I think they're going to use the blitz.
I mean, I think that's a really important point is in that this secondary for quite some time, they've counted on front four pass rush and numbers, throw numbers in the secondary because you didn't have great talent back there. And that's a different story now, particularly if they fix that safety spot. And I love Elijah Molden. I think his mindset is terrific. I think he's a terrific guy to have on your team. But I would like an upgrade at safety there and for him to be a package player, you know, a specialty player, a game plan player. And if you had Simmons or May or Diggs back there, that would really complete this defense for me. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the next place they go now. I hope it's the next place they go now.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharski coming up next. One more segment for today. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Paul Kuharski with us from paulkuharski.com. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. PK, outside of the tangible evidence of what we're going to see play calling-wise, with his first time being a play caller in the NFL, what are you most intrigued to learn about Brian Callahan, the way he operates, the way he coaches, everything related to that heading into this season?
Well, I want to know how they utilize analytics and how transparent they are about how they utilize analytics. Because we know old regime was not particularly warm to the idea. Upstairs and downstairs were not unified in their approach to it. And Vrabel did make some decisions that matched up to what analytics would have told you, but also not at times. So I want to see how consistently they go with things there. And we haven't had a chance to dive in that much with Callahan on that front, but we know Brinker is big on that and building systems. I'm a little... The building system stuff is more, you know, injury related and draft related and all of that. I don't think you need years to build systems for things that tell you about in-game stuff. How much is Brinker's stuff related to Callahan's office? What's the network there? You know, is Brinker's department giving Callahan two pages of stuff that is, hey, this is stuff that's applicable to what you're doing this week? How much does that translate into the game plan and the play calling? I'm very curious about how much that's going to be a thing here.
You're only going to get the answers if they keep giving you all this extra access.
You get a lot of access.
Yeah, well, my extra
access.
You're
going to be delivering the reports, the TPS reports?
I don't know. I'll have to tell you as I explore my extra access. Why are they giving me the extra access again? To get me on their side?
Yes.
Yeah, so you won't be an a-hole to the new coach. After you lost your only source in Titans history, Mike Vrabel.
So I was an a-hole to the old coach who I had great access with.
Were you?
No, I'm
I don't know.
Trying to track down the
That's a good question.
Theory.
Maybe they just are who fear, my only they're fearful source. That you will
think,
be now. You're, for the first time in your life, you're finally going to be an a-hole. That's what they're fearful of.
I think people.
It's my only source with a team that I've been covering since 1996.
I think people legitimately believe, some people, that Vrabel like hated Kuharski. I think that's what some people believe. I don't think that's true.
Well, obviously it's not true.
Obviously.
That's his guy, man. That's his boy. He didn't say anything bad about him.
Had him in my pocket.
just beautiful stuff. It's been really interesting to see how this offseason has come together here, and yet we know the expectations externally for this team are going to be really, really low. I would love to know, like, if you gave Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon some truth serum, like what their expectations for this team actually are. I mean, they've done a ton this offseason, and they haven't fixed everything. They had so many holes that you couldn't fix everything. But I would love to know deep down, like, what Rand Carthon actually believes about this team and how good he thinks they can be heading into this year.
Yeah, and Callahan. I mean, it's such an interesting situation with a first-year coach. Very transformed team in some areas. Quarterback, that's still largely a question mark. And I think that is the outside expectations are about him, right?
I think there's a lot. I think they know that there's a lot of unknown. But I think that I also have to have a feeling like, hey, we're going to surprise some people with what we can do here. And I think they do a good job of not being conscious of what's being said or all of that and being insulated from it. But you can't help but hear it or be conscious of it to some extent. And it is pretty wild. Like, look, I after last offseason, I really am making a concerted effort not to give them too much credit or make too many presumptions about how much better they could be because I kind of fell for it last year. But it's obviously a very different offseason. I also think, though, you look at the division, everybody – I'm not big on the Colts, but Houston on paper, you know
– rock solid.
Matched the Titans, you know, maybe surpassed the Titans, and they were –
took a couple guys
year.
They wanted
yeah,
who were here.
And I think Jacksonville – you know, has a chance as well. I think Houston is going to be the third most popular Super Bowl pick in the AFC, and legitimately so. But you know how things go. You know, they could fall to pieces and crumble in a sophomore season for Stroud. One big injury changes the whole picture. All of that stuff. So the division is as interesting as it's been in a long time.
To your question, Robbie, my most interesting thing is just Callahan as a play caller.
Yep.
That's still going to be so much of this, right? I mean, if he's really good, because not all of these, they may all have the same philosophies and kind of, you know.
A lot of it's about feel, though.
But, yeah, it's right on feel. Game day. Yeah. How you know, what's the touch like on
but
those
But don't
those
you feel like
moments?
Even if Callahan's a bad play caller, he's a better play caller than we've seen here in since Arthur Smith? I did.
The bar is not that high. There's no question about that.
Mike Herndon.
You can't block people. You can't call plays very well.
Mike Herndon on Tyler Boyd will be up at paulkuharski.com very soon. Don't block the box. Do lock your locks.
Check it out. Paul Kuharski with us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. That does it for us. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.